This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
That's exactly who you got today. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula. It's Byron Matthews filling in for our guy Figgy Fig. Out with the tummy ache.
A little bit.
Not quite. He's food poisoning, so it's a little bit more than a tummy ache, to be completely honest. But yeah. Thoughts and prayers to our guy.
His wife did it, by the way.
What are you doing?
Well, I mean, that's been speculated.
Him, in fact, that food poisoning happened because of his lovely wife. But yeah, he's out today. But Byron's been holding it down. Appreciate you. And just to let you know, mixtape's coming up about 20 minutes. He left us with a little something. It's not going to quite be like Friday because I don't think he recorded anything. I don't think he foresaw his illness, but he did leave us
good
stuff, so we'll dig into that here shortly. Just want to remind you a few things. Aziz Alshire didn't practice, neither did Toa Toa, which was interesting after practicing yesterday, dealing with kind of concussion protocol. And then what did I have that was back at practice? Steven Sims and Robert Woods back at practice as well. So they're
interesting one being Toa Toa, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Like, because it seemed like, hey, maybe you're progressing to where he's out of the protocol. And I don't know. Like, I don't recall all of the steps to get out of the protocol because, but it felt like you were maybe starting to see what could possibly lead to him being back. It could also be this, that he is beginning the steps to, like, get out there for the protocol for Thursday, knowing that you're not going to have a lot of practices in the short week in between Sunday and Thursday.
Yeah, I think that could be part of it. I think part of it also could be, it is protocol for a reason. You have to kind of evaluate as every step. So maybe they're just sort of like, hey, take it easy today. See how you feel. Maybe, whatever. But I think it's got game time decision written all over it.
Yeah, that does feel like.
Yeah.
But I mean, Devin White still practicing. That adds some level of depth to the Hewitt and Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen situation, which, by the way, Neville Hewitt will be on with the drive about 12:15. So you want to keep it locked right here to Sports Radio 610. All right. Around the NFL, there has been, not that we're doing around the NFL, we did that earlier, but around the NFL, there's been kind of some interesting trends that's happening, especially going towards the running back. And so, I think this really has been highlighted for me. Monday I went out with Sean. We were hanging out at Legacy Cigar Lounge in Stafford and, just talking ball as you do. And one of the things that kind of was apparent to both of us that we were real interested in is just how many of these older veteran running backs are thriving. And Bill Barnwell actually, interestingly enough, wrote a piece about this today about some of the guys like Saquon and Derrick Henry who have thrived and how they've done it, which is, with the gravity of a quarterback who can run and, with other things that's happening. Joe Mixon is obviously one of those guys that's a veteran running back.
Yeah.
Some teams have kind of decided the value that they have, that they see in a veteran running back, where they don't want to give them that extra contract. And there's other teams like the Texans, like the Ravens, like the Eagles that are like, no, we'll pay that because we're going to get value out of it. And that has led to some of the better teams in this league, maybe not specifically that, but some of the better teams in this league are really, part of their identity is running the football. The Kansas City Chiefs, what they're doing right now, it's easy to go, well, Patrick Mahomes is there and that's what they're doing. It's been defense and running the football for them. They have put up, they've had rushes for 184, 139, 101, 128, and 149 respectively in their last five games.
That is, well, go through the others, because if what I'm looking at is when you look at the top of the rushing charts, these are all guys that have kind of bucked the presumed norm of, once you get into 28, it's undefeated. And I've said that, and it is, like running backs hit a wall at some point in their career. But that doesn't mean that younger running backs that aren't to that wall yet aren't worthy of another contract. So I love it because I think it's sort of dispelling all those myths about running backs that were, let's be honest, far too prevalent. It was almost like an excuse not to give a running back another contract when clearly they could have played another 1, 2, 3 years or whatever. So I'm glad about that. Now, I think running backs now with this template, with Derrick Henry and Joe Mixon and just go down the list.
Saquon. Those are kind of the major ones. Josh Jacobs is another one.
Josh Jacobs, who's been
a little below average in Green Bay, but I don't know that he's getting
effective.
Explosive plays though.
Yeah.
And so they've gotten something out of that. But I mean, even just looking at, without even looking at the individual running backs, I think that's been
just the running game, like you're talking about.
But the running game itself, right? The Vikings and the Lions also, right? When we talk about being great teams in the NFC, they also add that, particularly the Lions with that, you know, David Montgomery and then Swift as well. They've done a lot of, and then of course, as I mentioned, the Ravens have been like the best team in football. And that's behind kind of that two man running capability of clearly Lamar Jackson and then obviously Derrick Henry. And so with all of that, like seeing how prevalent run game has been, especially for elite teams, I know that, like, you know, Bobby Slowick wants to be able to run the football. Is it possible that this is kind of what's driving that desire to run the football for the Texans?
I think that and D'Amico Ryans. I think the fact that, you know, D'Amico, a defensive minded coach, you know, no matter how progressive you think you are, if you're, you know, your DNA as a defensive minded coach is control the game, assert your dominance, you know, and that means defense and running the ball. Like I know D'Amico loves the big plays and the explosive plays and Nico Collins and down the list, but in his DNA, these defensive minded coaches, especially, they want, you know, to shut you down and to run the ball down your throat. And so I think that's part of it as well. Slowick is built that way. San Francisco, you know, the whole Shanahan-Kubiak thing, it is an incredibly innovative, you know, passing scheme, but they run the ball like crazy, that scheme. It's kind of a misconception. Hey, West Coast offense and this and that. Nah, they love to run the ball. And so I think that's part of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Mixon is actually, if you look at certain things, like I was surprised to see that Joe Mixon he's like ninth right now in yards before contact. And I do wonder how much of that is just like zone blocking scheme where you're just kind of waiting to see a seam and then hit it so that maybe you're not going to have as much contact before.
Yeah.
And then it's very different, Joe Mixon versus the rest of the Houston running backs. Like his success rate is just different than everybody else's. But with all that being the case, it's like I understand the draw to want to run the football, but it feels weird to then have this kind of template that's happening with a lot of these teams where they're running the football very well, playing defense, but then looking at the way that you've built this team passing wise. And I know offensive line, if they're on their game, this looks a little bit different, but to then kind of have this be really run dominant, really defensive heavy, it feels like while you're having that happen, it's still not quite it's not quite what you want ultimately.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the path of victory here. Does this represent, I think this is ultimately what I want to get to, is does this represent a little bit of a challenge for this team? Like, even if the offensive line gets going, that push and pull between wanting to run the football and wanting to, you know, be able to air it out, and CJ's desire to want to kind of take deep shots, are those in any ways at odds for you?
No, not really. And the reason
Gibbs. I did say Swift. It was Gibbs.
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs. But not really, because getting back to the West Coast offense thing, most effective down the field is on play action. I mean, play action is what breaks, first of all, gets you man-to-man coverage a lot of times, gives your receivers a chance to break those plays a little more wide open, get open a little easier. And then, you know, the fact that you have, and this is why D'Amico Ryans is always, and not just D'Amico Ryans, all of us are a little bit frustrated with being in third and long. Because then all of a sudden you are absolutely going to pass, maybe some zone, maybe some complex coverages that are harder to beat. No, I think, you know, if the Texans can run the ball better, and this is obviously not counting Joe Mixon, then the passing game is going to be that much better, I feel.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that then highlights one of the issues that we've had with Bobby Slowick and their play calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is how predictable it has been and how the lack of effectiveness on first and second down. I mean, they have been 22nd, I believe, when it comes to first down rushing success. That's not nearly good
enough. Can't do it, yeah.
And that's put them in third and down, third and longs, third and mediums, where the offense has actually been 8-for-27 there on third down in those situations. It's not
8 for 27.
It's not been good in that regard. And so, like, I think that some of that, and again, a lot of this comes back to offensive line, right? Running on first down isn't a problem if you're picking up big chunks, right? You mentioned the Niners. The Niners hardly get third downs at all while rushing the football. But with that being the case, like the way that they're running the football, where it's not consistently picking up 5 yards at a time or what have you, it is, you know, 2 yards, no yards,
30.
Whatever. And then 30, right? And then the big jump. Like, it feels like it's really important to kind of vary the way that they're handling this. Even though you want to run the football, I think they need to run the football a little bit, not necessarily less, but a little bit more sporadic is the wrong word.
Chunky.
But intermittently.
A little chunky.
Yeah.
Not chunk plays as in 30, but chunk plays as in 6 and 8. The Lions do it perfectly. Like, the Lions have the perfect balance. They have the two running backs. They can get 6 or 8 yards on first down. And then all of a sudden everything's wide open. But the Texans can't do that. I mean, that's as big of an issue with the offensive line. We can talk about, you know, the franchise and how important it is to protect C.J. Stroud. But the biggest thing of all is to be able to consistently run the ball for, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards and then go protect the passer as well. It's funny. It always comes back down to how this offensive line is playing, because you can have that chunk play, that 30-yarder, that's not going to help you on three other series. You know, there are going to be 2 or 3 other series where you're 3rd and 7.
Yeah. So I just found that to be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
We're looking at a trend where there's a lot of NFL running backs and a lot of teams that are running the ball well at the very top. And the Texans aren't on that same level, even though Joe Mixon himself has been very good. And so I'm like trying to find a way to make those things jive, because it feels like when they are going well, this team could be alongside those, but I also, until you get there has to be some level of balance.
You have to have another running back consistently produce, too.
That is also a good point.
I mean, Damian Pierce, we've seen glimpses, but I just mentioned, you know, the Lions have it down to a science, and clearly they're the outlier. They're at the top of the game right now. But if you can't, Damian Pierce is in. Oh, no. You know, I hope he gets 2 yards. That's a big problem for this offense, and that's every, you know, other series of downs, all of a sudden it makes it more difficult on yourself.
It's a yard and a half difference per attempt.
Yeah.
From Joe Mixon to the rest of the running backs in this quarter. Yeah, and then, I mean, rush yards over expected. Joe Mixon, significantly more rush yards than expected. Mm-hmm. Rest of the running backs, 30 yards less than expected.
Yeah, like, see, that's the issue.
It is a big one. So, it'll be interesting to see as we continue going, watching the way that this line works, but then also Bobby Slowick and his decision making on when they decide to run the football, especially at this time period where it feels like it's Joe Mixon or it's nothing.
I am glad though that this trend is obvious, and you know, you mentioned Barnwell wrote that. It's been common theme across the NFL, passing down for the most part, etc. I am glad, just because I think running backs have been vastly underpaid for a long time. I think they're going to start to get paid now. You know, the fact that you've seen these enormous success stories in Saquon and Derrick Henry, and maybe a lesser degree Joe Mixon and Josh Jacobs, I think more people are going to, you know, the old copycat league thing, they're going to be like, hey, we could use one of those guys, and they can go ahead and pay him.
Yeah, I can see them, some of them getting paid a little bit more frequently. I don't know that it's going to be a full shift, because I think there's also some acknowledgement that for running backs, you can still get a lot of value and replacement level. This is one of those things where we're talking about the elite of those veteran running backs. And I know somebody was like, hey, man, Saquon is 27. We're calling him old. He's
running back years.
That's how the running backs look, man. Yeah. Paying that second contract is one of those things that people shy away from when it comes to these running backs still. Mm-hmm. And maybe the third contract is really the biggest one. But, yeah, people are still shying away from some of these guys in a way that it's kind of odd to see, but you're seeing some teams, including the Texans, reap the benefit. Can you imagine if the Texans were not in this group of teams that had been like, no, we'll take that veteran running back and believe that he still has it?
Yeah.
Because this team without Joe Mixon.
Oh, what a mess. What a mess. It would be, I mean, think about the games that they've won. It's been Joe Mixon. It's been Joe Mixon.
It's been a lot of Joe Mixon.
No, obviously CJ does his deal.
CJ, Joe Mixon, the law firm of Mixon, Stroud, and Collins.
Yeah.
That's been a lot of it. Yeah. Of course, not to neglect the defense that have also done quite a bit. And then, you know, obviously a junior partnering Fairbairn as well.
That's right.
Or Fairbairn, if you are Kevin Harlan. So, yeah. Shout out to these Texans, where at least one thing I feel comfortable about, and again, I might be jinxing myself, this Colts game does not present as much of a challenge as some of these other ones, even though I guess you could look at it and say you did all that running, you ultimately were like a 2-point game, if I remember correctly, in week one.
And they've got Buck back.
Yeah. DeForest Buckner, if you are unfamiliar with who Buck is. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's typically where we turn it over to Figgy, except Figgy ain't here. Figgy is sick. However, Figgy left a little work for us. We'll talk about the top 10 mispronounced words that make you sound dumb and what career would you avoid, even for double pay. All of that we'll discuss next on Sports Radio 610.